5-foot distance thing, spacing, right? Okay. Social distancing. I thought that guy was kind of an idiot. But some of these people were. I mean, they just did things to irritate you. All right. I had one guy, I went into Safeway, and he said, "Oh, good, we have a normal person," and I didn't have a mask on. And he was in there insulting people that wore a mask. What's wrong with you? Okay. And you know what? It's so silly. Some of the stuff that we had, but he didn't have a right to be in people's face that way. I didn't appreciate that. But anybody remember what show this was off of? Finding Nemo, remember? Okay. Who would have thought that Finding Nemo would have social distancing with bags, okay? I just thought it was hilarious. And then we know, of course, social distancing with this one. You remember what that was off of? Lion King, all right? And the reason they were social distancing was what? Because he stunk, all right? The pig was the stinking one, so that's why you had social distancing there. But we've been kind of walking around like this in some kind of bubble, and we've lost our identities. We've lost a lot of things. And I'm just saying, tonight we want to talk about finding your identity, okay? There's been a lot of identity theft. That's involving your money, okay? So identity thefts, your bank accounts. In Wheatland, Wyoming, I have a rental, and these people could not deposit rent in cash. And I'm going, why can't they deposit their rent in cash anymore? Because people were cheating the bank, and the only people that can deposit cash is the people that have the account. And so anyway, I asked the banker, I said, how come, why is this? It's so ridiculous. He goes, we lost $40,000 last month. Because $40,000 because these people are scamming people. And they're just thieves and robbers and liars. And those kind of people, I think, should be taken out and, well, not shot maybe. But if Morgan and I had anything to do with it, I mean, I've known Morgan for quite a while. And you know what? I think both of us and all the rest of you too, I think I'm sick of people lying to me. And I don't like it. Another thing that happened was my password was stolen for eBay. And this guy, I told you last night, this guy was in my account and he was doing pictures back and forth and deal, trying to work a deal for, one was a $5,000 ring. He was trying to, I think he was scamming, trying to get this ring and trying to blame me for it. But, you know, I don't know what happened. I just called eBay and said, look, someone's in my account. And so they gave me a double password and now, they're all after your money, okay? But we're not talking tonight about you're stealing your identity and trying to take your money away. We're talking about the identity crisis that's all around us. Adults that don't know who they are, teenagers that don't know who they are, little kids. It was so sad. I heard about this story about this little five, or she was six now. When she was 5 years old, she went to kindergarten with a boy, and then the next year she came back and she referred to the boy as Jim or whatever his name was, and he got kicked out of school because Jim now was no longer a Jim. She was Susie or something. It was so stupid that a five-year-old little boy now can all of a sudden become a girl. I mean, that doesn't even make sense because even science itself teaches us the difference between a boy and a girl. But there's identity crisis all around us. This picture kind of shows it too. If you don't know which bathroom to go in, just stay out of the women's bathroom for sure, okay? Because the women don't want you in there if you're a guy. Just be who you are. And teenager, who am I? That's the question we have to ask. All right. Well, I am who God says I am. And God says we're a lot of things if we're a Christian. We're redeemed. We're in Christ's body. We're wonderfully made. We're a citizen of heaven. I'm a child of God. There's nothing more important than being a child of God. You know, God let me be His heir, joint heirs with Christ. I can be in heaven for the rest of my life. I mean, you know, after I die, for the rest of eternity. You know what? I'm a child of God the rest of my life. That means I can have a good and a better life because I have God on my side. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have God on my side than nobody on my side or a friend on my side. My friend might not be my friend tomorrow. You can't keep up with the rules and regulations that your friend set. Today you have to do this. If you don't do it today, then you're not my friend anymore. But if you do it tomorrow, you might say, I'm not going to do that. I want to do this. So you kick that friend out of your life. You ever have a friend betray you? You had secrets with that friend and all of a sudden they tell someone else that secret? I'm telling you, it's not right for people to betray like that and God will never betray you. Jesus will always be there for you if you'll just turn your life over to Him and you can live right or you can choose to live wrong. It's your choice. All right? But we're talking about your identity and finding your identity in Christ. That means you have to study the Bible to cast down all doubt of who you are. Because God has something for you. And you can follow what you want if you want, but how's that working out for you? Most people that live for themselves end up not having any money, not having jobs. You say that's not all the time. Oh, I know. Bill Gates is a man, he's a multi-billionaire. You know what? And he owns half the farms in America, but most of us aren't going to have that kind of money. Most people don't have anything, and Bill Gates is going to walk over us like we're nothing. All right? Anyway, so your identity in Christ and understanding that identity goes back to the Bible. Do you know your Bible? Now, Morgan and I go way back in Bible school. I can't remember how long I've known you. Do you know how long? About the same time or not quite? Okay. And then I've just met you tonight. Or did I know you 2 years ago? I can't remember. I know you from 2 years ago. All right. And I think I know you too. All right. Because your face is so much different though from 2 years. I can't keep up with you guys. All right. Because you all change so quick. But anyway, understanding your identity in Christ, because on purpose, with the purpose, for a purpose, we should purpose to be who God created you to be. Don't try to be some phony person, because you're not going to succeed in that. So tonight we're talking about finding your identity. We're going to be talking about tonight, tomorrow night, and Wednesday night, finding out who exactly you are. What are you doing here? Okay? You say, well, I'm just living my life, and I'm going to live it up to the fullest. And you know what? You're not going to have very much. You know how many people have blown out their brains because they don't have any friends left? They've committed suicide because they've blown it all. And just like the prodigal son, they leave God, leave what God wants for them, and they live any way they want, and they end up failing. And that's not what God wants for you. I want you to consider this scripture right here. These things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Why was God's word written to you? It says right here that your joy may be full. That God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. Man, that's awesome that we can have fellowship with God and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. How many of you have ever felt guilty about something? You did something you shouldn't have done. We've all been there. But it's awesome that God can forgive us. You say, well, I have no sin. Well, then you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's anything that's not right. All right? God said He would forgive us for that. These things write unto you that you sin not. But if you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I just love that chapter. And then here's another one. I write unto young men. Now, girls, I'm not saying that God doesn't care about you, all right? But it says right here, we're talking about the young people. Some people are just saved, or some people are you're not very old. I could tell the little kids in the morning about this, and I say, if you're a young person, then you should be able to overcome the wicked one. You say, who's the wicked one? Well, we know who the wicked one is. It's Satan. But the worst probably is not Satan. Most of the time, Satan will not bother you like you're thinking. You're your worst enemy. You're the one that makes choices in your life, and you're the one that destroys your life because you're not going the right way. You have to make a choice with your life. But it says here, I've written on you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. I write unto you young men because you are strong and the word of God abideth in you and you've overcome the wicked one. So you have a choice of overcoming sin or just falling into it. I don't know about you, but I hate when I sin. I don't like myself when I do that. But you know what? God said He'd forgive me. And when God forgives me, I can live clean and pure again because God gives me that ability. He wipes away my sin and I can walk with God again. And I have a clear conscience. I can go to sleep at night knowing that I am right with God. I don't think there's anything more important. But this idea here of being strong and being young men, God abides in you and you can overcome the wicked one. There's nothing more important than that. You are not an accident. God knows you, God made you, and God loves you. Remember that. Isaiah 64 says, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, neither have I seen what He has prepared for him that love Him. You know what? God has made some great things for you. If you'll wait on God, God will help you with some things. Genesis 9 says, we are made in the image of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I look like God. All right, but I'm made in the image of God. That's pretty awesome that God made man in His own image. And man, I look like God. Now, I look like my dad, too, and I didn't like that very much, okay? But looking like God, I think that's pretty cool. But the Bible says I can become a son of God. And when I'm the son of God, then I have a relationship with God. You see what I'm saying? That's just awesome. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and made him a living soul. So this is the truth of God's word. You can believe that God is not real, and you can block that out of your mind and say, there is no God, I can live any way I want. You're not going to have a very happy life. You're going to destroy yourself, okay? But if you'll follow God, God makes you a living soul, and you can have happiness in your life. The joy of the Lord is yours, all right? And then it goes on to Genesis 1. He made male and female, created he them. God made man in his own image, and the image of God created him, and male and female. So there's no doubt that God made people as a male or a female. So I'm just telling you, some people have it all messed up, and they're trying to mess with your mind, and guys are saying, I'm not a guy, I'm a girl. And girls are saying, I'm not a girl, I'm a guy. All right, and take all these chemicals, and what happens is so many commit suicide because they're trying to wrestle with the chemical imbalance, and they're also trying to be something they're not. Romans chapter 8 says, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're supposed to be like Jesus. And those of us that made that choice, God already said, I know who you were that got saved, and now I'm predestining you to be conformed to the image of His Son. The scripture is so clear there. Isaiah says, I created him, I formed him, and I have made him. Every single person, God has made you. You have to accept it or not accept it. You say, well, I don't accept it. Well, then go ahead, try it out, see how it works. And you'd be just like one of the animals. You can live like an animal, have sex like an animal, or you can live for God and do what God wants you to do. The Bible says what we should do. And one of those things is walk in newness of life. It also says that we put off the old man and put on the new man because we want to be renewed in knowledge of the image of Him that created him. I want to be like God, and God's image is what I need. I also should not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus and made me free from the law of sin and death. If you want to follow sin, I want to rob people, take their money, I want to take drugs, I want to make myself like the world, you're going to end up in trouble like the world. You see all the homeless people on the streets? It's unbelievable. If that's what you want, you say, well, I can run back home. Your mom and dad's only going to put up with you for so long. And then, just like on the news that not that long ago, that one family took their son to court because he wouldn't leave the house. So finally they took him to the court and the judge said, sorry, young man, get out of the house. You can't just mooch off your parents forever. And then the Bible says we're also supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Pure religion and undefiled before God is we visit the widows and fatherless and help them in their affliction, but keep ourselves unspotted from the world. So what is our identity? I know I'm talking really fast, but I got a lot to cover, all right? So this is really important. I wrote it down in your books I'll give you on Wednesday night. But look at the screen with me and get this figured out for me, all right? Would you do it? Watch the screen. Number one, your identity is the deepest sense of who you are. It's what you think about yourself, okay? That's your identity. Now, you can be whatever you want. Well, I can't be fairy godmother, okay? I don't have a wand. I don't know. I do have a magic wand, okay? You know, some of you have seen some of the tricks I do, but I'm just saying, Disney World is all fantasy, all right? And you can't be everything you want to be, but you can say, did you see the guy that looked like a, he dressed up like a baby doll? He's a guy, and he dresses up like a baby doll and goes to a party. He's sucking his thumb at the party, and he claims to be a girl, and he's really a guy, and he's dressed up like a baby doll. It's so ridiculous, okay? So your identity, but he thinks he's a baby, he thinks he's a girl, so I guess he can do that, and he's part of our government, okay? But the deepest sense of who you are, your identity is the story you tell yourself about yourself. I am this way, all right? The definition that you've accepted. I am this way, and that's fine. That's your identity. I'm trying to help you identify what you think you are. Your core trust, what you believe in yourself. That's where you subconsciously look for meaning and validation. You say, I am a cop, and so I'm looking at myself, and I'm going to be a good cop or a bad cop, okay? You can make that choice as well. We all have an identity. We want a solid and a truthful one. We don't want some Look at me. I want you to come out of yourself and quit thinking of what you are here. And I want you to think about your grandkids. Think about your future. So whoever you marry, you're going to have kids with. And then your kids are going to have kids. And I want you to think ahead of time of what you want your grandkids to be like. Because that's your future. Now you say, well, I'm not going to ever get married. Well, that's good. Don't ever have babies either, because then you cause the world to have a lot of mess. You know how many babies are walking around without a mother, without a father? And what a mess. Some of you have probably been identified that way. You might not have a mom and a dad, and you're going, what's wrong with this world? Well, the reason you might be all messed up is because the world's all messed up. And your identity, you want a solid and a truthful one, and it doesn't matter what your parents have done. What matters is what you do with your life. So you're making a choice, and you're making a choice. And Morgan, and you, you guys are making choices every day. And the choices that you make is going to change the future. But your identity is not who you are. All right? That identity that you've identified yourself with, that's not who you are. That's who you think you are. All right? I'm thinking I'm Superman. some kids, you know, they get the little cape on their back and they get up on the, you know, they want to jump off and they're Superman. All right? Little kids do that all the time. Are they Superman? No, it's an imaginary thing that they've come up with, and bullets will not bounce off of them. Okay? So don't even try, and they shouldn't jump off buildings because they'll be dead. All right? It's a product of what I think. That's the internal, and then also it's the external, what people say I am. All right, so the adults, you've heard some of this last night, and so it doesn't hurt you because it's really good information that will get us in our head what we are. You are what you think you are, but that's probably not who you are. Now, boy, is that hard to get a hold of, okay? Do you understand what I just said? Whoever you think you are probably isn't who you really are, because you're not thinking about God. You're just thinking about yourself. All right, second page there. I'm sorry. I've got two more to go, okay? So just kind of put up with me. I got cartoons coming in just a second, all right? I promise you I'll have some fun. But anyway, you are hardwired to need someone, all right? You found your wife, and boy, you are lucky, okay? And she found her husband, and you're lucky that you found someone that loves you, and you're just hopeless, okay? My daughter had a hopeless chest, okay? Well, it's really a hopeful chest. And she put all this stuff in her chest, and she was looking for one day if she's married. She had an iron, and she had a toaster and everything she wanted to have when she was going to be married, okay? And I called her a hopeless chest. But she did find someone, and I'm so glad she did, because she needed someone, and he needed someone worse than she did, okay? And you've got a friend, and you, one of these days, you're going to have a friend too, and you know, hopefully it's the right friend, because of the wrong friend, you're going to have trouble and so on. But you need someone to approve of your identity. Someone we value, we respect, and we love. Everybody needs that, okay? This is me, my fit, my wife over here. We've been married 44 years, just a few days, okay? 44 years we've been married. That's my fit. We deal with a strong or weak identity. So you either have a good, strong identity, or you have a weak identity. Our process for shaping it is valid through the true or the biblical or the vulnerable or the weak identity. Okay? Oh, I'm glad we're almost through with the second one. Are you old? Are you mature enough to catch this tonight? Your brain is working pretty good. I think I got everybody's attention, and you're all understanding me. Is what I'm saying making sense? Just nod yes or no. Morgan's going, I lost you already. I'm sorry, Morgan. All right. So I'm going to slow down just a little bit. All right. It says right here, a personal identity formation takes place as an involuntary function of the soul. How many of you take a breath? Like every few seconds you take a breath. That's all of us, okay? Do you think about breathing? No. It's something that you do automatically, or you would die. Now, I don't know about any of you, but I have asthma, so I have a spray. And when I get really, you know, out of breath, I got to take a spray. And it helps my lungs to kind of expand a little bit. Takes all that out so I can breathe good. But you know what? Most times you don't think about it. But our subconscious works hard to construct and secure that identity that we believe is best. So you're not even thinking about it. But your friends and your friends and your friends and your friends and pastor's friends, your friends, you are all listening to those around us, and we're forming our identity without even thinking about it. All right? So I don't know about you, but I better choose the right friends, or my friends are going to mess me up, because they're going to say, you're ugly, so I'm going to start thinking what? I'm ugly. All right? Or they're going to think I'm stupid, How many has ever been called stupid before? I hate that word, okay? But some people really are stupid, okay? Because they believe the stupidest things. Now quit pointing to him, all right? All right. All right. So, all right, what does God say about our identity? He calls it the inner being, and we're supposed to be strengthened with power through His Spirit. He also refers to it as the heart, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. God wants us to think what we're doing, and we keep that straight by God's Word, okay? Not by what our friends say, but what God says. God loves us, and He cares for us. So we either have to follow what God says, or we follow what our friend says. Let me tell you something. I would much rather listen to God because He made me, He created me, and He loves me. And my friend, I'll probably have a different friend next week. I had one friend, he said, nobody loves me anymore. I'm just friends with nobody. He was so down. He was full of depression in his life. And I said, Don, you're always my friend. I don't care what you do. You're always going to be my friend. And I count each of you that way. That I've known you. I get to know you a little bit. I want to do anything I can to help you. When this inner self is weak, this is what we have. Let's read it aloud. Frustrated, anxious, fearful, defeated, and unhappy. When we're strong, we feel what? Read it with me. Secure, fulfilled, valuable, purposeful, and happy, at least temporarily. This is the identity that drives our emotions and then our behavior. All right, now I'm done with those three pages. I can focus on the next. We got cartoons coming, all right? The monster that we cage and feed. Subconsciously, many of you, when you're home alone or you're by yourself or maybe with your friend, you go through question times. You say, who am I? Most of the time it's when you're by yourself. And you say, well, I don't know who I am. I'm working on it, though. But it's either good or bad. And I'm sorry to tell you this. Don't feed this monster because God said you are special. You are made in the image of God. God made you and He loves you. And you should say, I'm somebody instead of I'm nobody. Because God cares for me. I think that's important. The weakness of the processes we've developed. It's like, I'm going to be strong and then we fail. You know what? I could never please my mom to have my room clean enough. It just, when I was a kid, there was nothing I could do that really pleased my mom most of the time. But I'll tell you this, as I got older, my mom was 92 when she died. My mom was so excited that I was one of her kids that really did the best. As far as following God said, and my life was, my sisters, two of them, both had three husbands. My brother, he had, I don't know how many girlfriends, and then he had a wife with three kids, and then they got divorced. And then my other two brothers, they married, and they've been married since they got married. And then my brother died last week, all right? But he rejected God, and my mom just couldn't believe what he was doing with his life. But anyway, that weakness that we developed is not good. Past success is never enough. Past failures demand starting over, trying harder. Let me tell you, teen, you can try as hard as you want, but you're going to fail, and then what are you going to do? You're going to feel miserable. Well, why don't you just follow the right way, and then you don't have to be miserable. You can make good choices with your life. You say, I've been there and tried that. Let me tell you something, teen. You can try to be a good Christian, but you're probably going to fail too. All right? Because the more you try to be a good Christian, you're going to fail. The more you try to be like the world, you're going to fail. Because there's nothing that's good. Even the smartest man in the world said, all is vanity. All is vanity. And everything isn't worth it. But with God, it is worth it. Because God can help us. All right? If we build on weak things, we work hard to protect them from loss. Let me give you an idea. Let me say you want to try drugs for the first time. And you got those drugs. And I know you're shaking your head, but some people are stupid enough to try it, and then they find out that it's bad, all right? So, let's build on that weak thing. We're going to take some drugs. So we take the drugs. Did you know someone died the other day? They were in college, and they took some drugs just one time, and somebody had that drug that they're smuggling, fentanyl, over the border. It had a fentanyl in that pill, and it killed her. She was a top student. She was going to be making big money, but because of that one time of trying drugs, that from a good family, she blew it, all right? But let's say you didn't die and you took the drugs and you felt good for a while, but then you felt really down because that's what happens most of the time. You feel good, you feel up, you go down. That's why they call them uppers and downers, and they call them all kinds of things because you're trying to take drugs to have a thrill, and then sometimes there's no thrill, so you try more drugs, and then your arms are... I've got pictures of teenagers with their teeth all gone because of the meth that they've taken. I have friends of mine that have tried to get jobs, but they can't trust them anymore because they've been in jail so many times trying to steal stuff. I'm just saying, when we build on those weak things, we work hard to protect from loss. And the example I just gave you, but when it fails, we try to hide, we try to fake it, we try to rebuild with flawed ideas again. We say, I'm going to try, not drugs this time, I'm just going to try to work hard, okay? And when that doesn't work, you jump off a bridge and say, I'm had it, I can't do anymore. And that's sad. I wouldn't suggest that to you, because when you kill yourself, you're not helping yourself at all. Well, you're very selfish, and you're hurting a lot of people that love you, and it's just not the very good thing to do. All right, so your identity then is either strong or weak. It motivates or demotivates. It stabilizes or destabilizes. It results in a positive self or a negative self, okay? And both are deceptive in many ways. And then the answer, again, is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Oh, I'm talking so fast, but I think you're understanding me, right? You're catching most of the things I'm saying. And the things I'm saying, you got to be able to see that it's the truth. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. Now look right here. Here's a cartoon for you, all right? I was able to do this on the website and I got it all. Come on, work it for me right. There we go. He's going to walk out here and paint a picture that I wrote. I wrote the words, okay? I wish I could do the character, but your identity, your real identity, you need to just stop trying. Okay? You can't do it by yourself. All right? Ta-da. I thought that was kind of cool. All right. Maybe you could do it probably better than me, and you probably write better words, okay? But whatever you are, stop trying. The idea of being, see ourselves as a work in progress. And then I had that button when I was a teenager that said, please be patient. God is not finished with me yet. You know what? You are not what you're going to be. All right? You don't even have a job right now, right? You're worthless right now, okay? Now, if I say that, okay, if I said that to you, and everybody else said that to you because you haven't got a job, you say, man, I'm not worth anything. And so your identity is formed by what people say to you instead of being formed by God. And God says, I'm going to make some great things of you. You see what I'm saying? So you have a choice to make. You can follow the right way and understand that God cares for you, or you can kind of live for yourself. All right? So Jesus' gospel identity was very clear. His claims and His teaching, His miracles, His prophecies, and His love, Jesus had His act together. All right? Morgan, we won't go to that place that you one time came to Bible school, all right, because that was pretty cool. But I've never had a kid do that in Bible school before, all right? He even had the marks of the hand in his hands of what Jesus did. But you know what? He identified with something that day, and Jesus identifies with us, and He loves us and cares for us, and it's awesome that we can identify with God's identity, because God wants us to be like Him. He had love for everybody, no matter who they were. And that was awesome, all right? But we're in an identity crisis. His disciples were like that. You know what? They had failures and fears and false hopes, and it was all about themselves and Peter himself. Remember, Peter was a deserter. He was a traitor. He was confused. And God looked at his weak identity. He was floundering in the water, and God went, hey, Peter, come on back up here. Because Peter was walking on the water with Jesus, but he took it. Can you imagine being able to walk on water? Peter did it. And God looked at him and said, Peter, come on, we're not done with you yet. And Wednesday night, we'll show you some things about Peter. But Peter's failure was not final, as his truest and strongest identity hadn't yet emerged. Now, here's some other cartoon type things, all right? So let me just tell you this quick story. We told this last night, but just to catch you, teenagers, I think you can understand what I'm saying here. The worst possible thing is have something go wrong with your mind. If you take the wrong amount of drugs, you could really mess up your mind, and you're retarded. I mean, you are incapable of making, that's what we used to say, because they were incapable of saying anything, and they're just like a vegetable. You ever see someone like that? They don't know who they are. Someone has to feed them and change their diaper even as a teenager. Why? Because they have no mind left. All right? It's a shame. But anyway, here's a dad and here's a son. He had the snowboard. Dad had the skis. They headed down the mountain. And his dad was almost down the bottom and his son wasn't anywhere to be found. This is a true story. And his dad took off his skis and was ready to walk back up the hill and find his son. When his son came over the top, and not the son came up over the top, but his son came over the top of the snowboard and came up beside Dad and stopped. And he said, "Dad, the reason I was behind," Dad was saying, "What's wrong?" He said, "The reason I'm behind is because I hit a tree with my head." It doesn't work too well to hit your head with a tree, all right? Or a tree with a head. Either way, it doesn't work, all right? But anyway, his dad said, "Are you okay?" And he said, "No, I don't feel very good, Dad." He said, "How long have we been skiing?" And his dad said, "Man, we just got here." But before he said that, he said, "How long do you think we've been skiing?" And he said, "We've been up here a couple days, haven't we?" But see, they just did one run, and he ran into the tree with his snowboard, and his dad knew that he had some problems. So they went to the medical shack. Immediately they said, "He's got a concussion. He needs to go down to the hospital." So they did the CAT scan. They checked out his brain. They said, he's got swelling of his brain. You need to take him home. So his dad got him in the car, and they're headed down the mountain back into California. It's amazing how you can go from snow down to, you know, no snow in California. But his dad was so concerned for his son, and his son didn't know who he was. He didn't know if he had a mom. He didn't know if he had brothers and sisters. But he did know that that was his dad. And he looked at his dad and he said, "Dad, am I always going to be like this? I don't know anything. My mind is not thinking. I don't know who I am, Dad." And he kept saying, "Dad." And his dad kind of stopped the car and he got his head in his hands and he said, "Son, look at me." I mean, how can you not look at your dad when he's right there, okay? He said, "Son, look at me. Who am I?" He said, "You're my dad." He said, "Okay, son, I'm your dad, and I'm telling you, the doctor just said you're probably going to be okay. Now, trust me." Now, that is the best he could say to him. Do you think that his son could now relax a little bit? Uh-huh. Because he got that identity back. "You are my son, and I said to you already, but I'm telling you again, you're going to be okay." All right? So that's just an encouragement. Now, there are deficient souls in search of identity. I like this stuff with the fingerprints and stuff. So I took this PowerPoint, was able to add all the information to it. None of that was theirs. It all came out of this book and me that it would put this together. But who or what gets to define you? All right. So what friends are you going to have that's going to make you've got your dad, you've got your friends in college, you've got people that you know, and you go to school with people. She's got friends all over the place, you know, and they all help her. But who's going to define who you are? Who are you going to let make that decision? You need acceptance. You need security. You need significance. And let me tell you something. If you go the world's way, you're going to try to let people affirm you, to validate you. You're going to try your hardest to perform, to have your friends say, "Man, you're awesome. You're my best friend. You have money." They want your money. But anyway, that goes your possessions and your purpose. You know what? That's a weak way. You're trying your hardest to perform and have possessions and have purpose, and that's the weak system. All right? You need to let God be the one that accepts you. You need to let God be the one that gives you the security in your life. And you need to also, that significance needs to come from God. So let me unlock a few things. I like that too. I thought that was really cool. Let me show you that again real quick. Here we go. There we go. Stick the lock in. I said, "Man, that's an awesome graphic. I got to use it." All right. So here's a couple things. Forming your identity, and I've got to hurry. We only have about 9 minutes left, so stay with me. There's a traditional identity. There's the modern identity, and there's the gospel identity. Okay. The world's temporal identity factors, this is how they figure out who you are. All right? It's like your thumbprint, okay? And this is what makes you, the world says, and there's a whole list of things. Your race, your culture, your ethnicity. I hate that word because I can't already say it. All right? Your family of origin, who's your mom and dad? Your religion, moral performance, your gender, okay? I'm a guy, you're a girl, you're a guy, whatever you are, all right? But you know what? It doesn't matter who you are. With those identities, do you understand? God can make you what you are. God can take that and make it special. God can give you a husband or wife. God can give you wonderful kids. God can give you wonderful grandkids. God can give you a wonderful job that will take care of your needs. I'm just saying, you might not be the richest man in the world, but God is taking care of my needs and blessed me way above I could even ask or imagine. You know what? I'm just telling you, I have 4 weeks of Bible school this summer, and that means I have, out of 12 weeks of summer, I have 4 weeks I get paid. All right? I haven't got salary a lot this summer. I haven't got salary most of this year. But you know what? God still meets my needs. I don't get it. All right? I have a bank account. I have money in my bank account. It's awesome to know that God's in charge and God's taking care of me. Pastor, I didn't say that, so you give me a big love offering. Last week, I got a big love offering that lasts for 2.5 months. It's just unbelievable how God takes care of me. Why? Because I made Him first choice. All right? The world has all these different identity factors, and they want you to think about, well, you've been abused, you've been a victim, there's failures in your life, and you go, oh, I'm so sad. And all these women think that they're just hopeless without them because they've made stupid choices, or these guys made stupid choices, they stole money, now they're in jail, and they say, oh, I'm so sad. I don't feel sorry for people that made bad choices. I'm saying, now you can make a good choice. Now you can follow God. There's a lady in our church that was in jail in Casper, Wyoming. She didn't know the Lord. Her life was a total wreck. She's 30-something years old. And somebody went down to jail with her, started working with her and talking with her. Now she's in our church. Now she has a job. Now she's happy. She's fulfilled in her life. She doesn't have a husband or anything. But you know what? She doesn't care. She's living for God and she has a wonderful life. And you know who I'm talking about. But you know what? Most people just feel sorry for themselves and they get this temporal identity factor and all these different things that they try to make themselves look like bad or good. And you know what? It doesn't really matter because God takes the weak identity and He makes it special if you let Him. But most of the world, they go through this fantasy thing of I can be anything I want to be. No, you can't. Now, God can help you be something special, but you can't be a superstar basketball player. You're just not good enough. Now, I know that might hurt just a little bit, but you're not like Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, when he was your age, he could do anything with the basketball. So you cannot be a superstar basketball player. You probably won't even make it in football. All right? But you know what? That doesn't matter. It doesn't last very long. One of my favorite quarterbacks was John Elway. And John Elway went to the Super Bowl several times. He was just a great sportsman. But you know what? As soon as he gets out of being a sportsman, he's drinking alcohol. He divorced his wife. You know what? I didn't no longer like him as a sports hero because he made stupid choices with his life. The fantasy of this world and being successful doesn't make you. The evolution is not true. I was not made by accident. I wasn't just like, all of a sudden I was a monkey and my tail fell off and now I'm a person. I don't believe that. I don't believe I ever had monkeys in my background. God made me the way I am and you can't tell me otherwise. You can try, but I won't believe it because God told me who I was. And the education I get, you know how many teenagers today? They say I can go to community college and I can get my associate's degree. And what's that going to do for you? If everybody has an associate's degree, it's not going to do you a bit of good at all. And then I'm going to get this degree and that degree. And most young people today can't even get a job. You know why? Because they're dishonest. They think they're Superman. They're not. Okay? I'm just saying, you can pick whatever figure you want. And some of them are trying to be that way. But then their career, most people aren't going to make it. It's just because they're not good enough. And the mental illness and unhappiness and TSD and bipolarness and all this stuff. Acrophobia. One study revealed that college students and young professionals are the loneliest generation. Another said suicide is now the second leading cause of death of Americans 10 to 34. And we're in a mental health crisis. Do you realize that homosexual young people have a 5 times more suicide rate than straight kids? Well, so go ahead, be homosexual if you want, but you're going to probably commit suicide 5 times more likely than anybody that's straight. He said, well, man, I'm not going to make that choice then. Well, that's be smart for you, all right? Because this fear and aversion and low mood and assault and stress and traumaticness, all this stuff, all the terms they tell you, I'm telling you, 86% of 20 to 30-year-olds today admit wrestling with depression, loneliness, disappointment, and insecurity. I don't know about your life, but I don't think you want to live that way. Because when you're depressed, you don't want to work. If you don't work, you don't have any money. If you don't have any money, you just get more depressed and you're trying to live off your parents. It's not going to last very long. They're going to expect you to get a job and they're going to kick you out of the house. And then what are you going to do? Go live with other people that don't have any desire to live right either? The one teenager I met in New York, he was a good friend of mine. He made a choice and went with his gang members, and he pulled his gang member pulled up in front of the church when I was there with the teens. We had like 70 teens that night, and his friend honks the horn and waves from his Corvette, and he runs over there to talk to him. He was trying to get him to come to teen time, and he showed up, but he wouldn't get out of the car. And I said, "Don't go with them, man, stay here." And he got in the car and went with them. And the next few weeks, he went into a drug program. He went into the house where drugs take place. Man, I can't think of it. It's where police raid place. It's like a broken down building, and all these druggies move into that house. I'll think of it in a minute. I can't think of it now. But I called them up. They had a phone. I couldn't believe it. I called John up and I said, "John, what's going on?" He said, not doing too good right now. And John was on drugs. He was living in this flop house. That's not the word I was thinking about. But it was a drug-related house. He said, "My life is a mess." And I said, "John, I'm praying for you." And you know what happened with John? I can give you good news about John. He made some good decisions. Now he's married. He's got a job. He's got kids. And John is doing a lot better than he was. But he made the wrong choice, went the wrong direction. Here's another one of those stupid things. I got to get to my cartoons. You mind if I just go like this and go to the... there he goes. All right, we're at the cartoons. Here we go. I got to finish with this tonight. I got to come right over here because you probably know all the answers, okay? Who is that girl right there? Elsa. There you go. I knew she would know, all right? And Elsa was supposed to be the next princess of her community, okay? But she had a problem. Every time she went like this, she created ice, okay? And so they hid it from everybody that she had this superpower, but she was supposed to be the next person. But you know what? She wasn't satisfied with who she was. You remember Lion King, right? Well, he told me a joke and I just can't get the joke out of my head now. But anyway, there's the monkey that held up the little Lion King, Simba, right? It's his name, right? Simba? Alright. And so Simba's up there I hated that guy. He hit people on the head with whatever he had, okay? But anyway, what was Simba supposed to do? He's supposed to become king, right? But it didn't work out, did it? He hung out with the stinky guy, okay? And then Mona was supposed to be in charge of her people and bring her people, you know. Oh, come on, guys. See, you guys know better than I do. That was a test, okay? And then whatever their names were, she was supposed to marry. What was the name? Oh, goodness. No, I knew that was Aladdin, but I'm saying her name, all right? All right. So what was she supposed to do? She was supposed to marry make this political alliance with this other, you know, all these business people and make her family successful, all right? And then the Little Mermaid, she's supposed to live under the sea. And then, of course, Woody and the Space Ranger. Woody's going, "You're a toy." And Woody says, "You're a strange little man. I feel sorry for you. I'm going to have pity on you," okay? Their identity was all messed up because they could never fulfill it. All right? That's their traditional identity that most of us could identify with, okay? At least kind of understand a little bit. But this traditional identity is the idea of values and the nuclear family. They had a boy, you know, two kids. Here's another family, and here's another family, here's another family. And you know what? Mom and dad and two kids. You couldn't have three, but, well, maybe. It was just kind of like family. Life is where it begins and love never ends there, okay? Life begins and love never ends. You know what? It didn't work out too good, did it? How many of you know people that have messed up their life and their family is not like that? My wife, her mom and dad got divorced, and her mom married a stepdad, and her stepdad's not saved, and what a miserable life that her mom got. But you know, at least they were together with somebody, you know. But it was hard for my wife. You know, and you know what? My mom and dad, they were like this, there wasn't love all the time. There was problems. And you know what? There's always going to be problems. You know, we think that we can have all these things, and it's not always true. Teenagers, I want you to know something. Just because the world tells you what you're supposed to be doesn't mean it's going to all work out that way. All right? I'm saying the traditional moral role, the identity thing, we learn who we are by growing up and learning the ropes, keeping the rules, gaining the skills to survive. There's boundaries we're not supposed to cross. And when you cross the boundary And when you cross the boundary, all of a sudden, nobody thinks you're any good anymore, and you're worthless. Well, you might have made some stupid choices, okay? But you know what? You're still valuable to God. And the traditional role of the behaviors and stuff that we're supposed to know, they're driven academically, racially, politically, religiously, athletically, nationalistically. We're looking for acceptance, security, and significance, and the traditional identity offers it as we achieve their set of customized expectations. Now, you're intelligent enough to catch that, okay? The world says, if you do this, you're going to be okay, you'll get a job, you'll have a family. But I'm telling you, the traditional identity doesn't always work. There are some failures with it, and I got to finish, but it has some positives. You know, it's motivated soldiers to give their lives, students to aim higher, first responders that run into a burning building and rescue people. The traditional identity gives you some experience, but you got to follow their rules. And teenagers, you're not made to follow rules. Now, right now, you might be following rules or you might not be following rules. But I'm saying most teenagers don't follow rules. They buck against rules, and that's okay. You got to find who you are, but you don't look the wrong place. Here's a whole list that's going to be in your book. I'm going to give you what traditional identity does. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that I haven't got time to talk about, but your modern identity, we'll talk about that tomorrow night, and some of you will fit in and some of you won't fit in. You see that wolf? That's not a sheep. And you can act like the rest of people, but you know what? A lot of people go to church and they're not who they think we think they are, and you might just not be what you think you are. I remember when I was going to church, okay? You might not be what you think you are, but I remember when I was going to church, I wasn't always saved. I didn't get saved until I was 14. But it was in church all my life. But finally, I understood what God was talking about and got the right identity from God, and I got saved, and God made the difference in my life. There's a lot of failures, but I got to get to the cartoons. Here we go. All right, here's the cartoons, and we're done. All right? What happened with her? She went out somewhere and tried to find the right way to go, but she ended up coming back and she became the princess of her kingdom. All right? And what happened to him? His uncle was trying to say, you'll never know good. You murdered your father. And he ended up coming back and he was able to be king. You know what? Traditional identity, sometimes we fit in, sometimes we don't. But you know what? Some people always go back. And of course, the witch, you know, she made an agreement with the witch to, you know, go up. I don't even want to think about all this stuff. All right. But anyway, when the flying, what do you call himself? A space ranger. When the space ranger finally saw on the TV that he was not a flying toy, his whole identity was shattered. A teenager, if you'll accept what the Bible says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Or if you say they are of the world and they speak of the world and the world heareth them, we are of God and God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, teenagers, I've tried to... I'm almost done. I put all this information here for one reason. You need to understand your identity. And teenagers have the hardest time trying to figure out who they are. Look, I'm not upset with you in any way. I'm glad you're here tonight. And you've listened to me. You've paid attention to me. And that's the most important thing, to understand that I care enough to come here, not knowing if I'd even get paid, because this church isn't, you know, like running with money, right? There's problems, you know. We're going to get over it. God's leading, okay? I'm not saying you're without money, but I'm just saying I didn't come here with promise of anything, but I came here because I care about teenagers. And you know that. Some of you know me, and some of you know me for a long time. I care about kids. And I want kids to not be lied to all the time and their identity being squashed because someone says they're ugly and you're no good. And I say, God loves you and God cares for you and you are special. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. God loves you, for God so loved the world that he gave. Secondly, you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number three, look at that guy jumping. I just love this. Oh, he missed it. You know what? We've all fallen short of making it to heaven. You say, well, I'll make it the next time. Nope, forget it. You can't make it. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But you know what? Most people won't make it. But God commendeth His love toward us. That's number four. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And some of you might feel like this, that your world is someone conquering you, and Jesus said, I died for you. That's the awesome thing. And I'm done. Whew. Can't believe I got through it all. Let's bow for prayer.